Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
About to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to... Can you anybody hear me? News Talk 1400 KQMS. I can't hear anything on my... All right, this is Carl Lindebot on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. You know, sometimes we start off, it's just like this. It's been kind of like this morning. Introduce our crew here, Frosty.
Good morning.
Frosty's upset.
I am a little bit upset. I heard this morning that the president was dining on $100 per pound steaks on Monday.
Well, you know, we're trying to cut back here.
And I guess so.
I don't know. Maybe it was $200.
Was it his choice or was it the chef's?
I don't know. I just heard that this morning, so I don't know all the details.
Sounds like Kobe beef.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, my soulmate, in case I haven't said it this morning, and in front of hundreds of thousands of listeners, I love you there, soulmate. What you got?
Well, I guess you just got saved. You know, we're not going to talk about it on the air. Anyway, I just wanted to also remind you, freefireradio.com, go into the subject matter of, where it says subject matter, and write in B.B. Neuwirth, because we still have some tickets. We're going to do the drawing this afternoon, and hopefully, if your name is selected, you get to join Carl and I Sunday night for this incredible performance, this one-woman show. You know, we had her on a couple days ago, so we wanted to make that announcement again. Get online and do that right away. Also, we're going to be broadcasting live from Harrison's Marine Center on Friday from 10 to 12. So they've got all kinds of repos and stuff out there. That should be fun. And how about the boat tickets?
The boat tickets. Now, we drew last night, and the people that won were notified last night. I couldn't get to everybody. You had a 23% chance of being selected. So... I mean, that's what it came out to be, but from the number of people and the number of tickets we had. So they are right here at the radio station. I have emailed or called the people that won. So if you didn't get a call or email last night, sorry. Maybe next time when we do this.
Going back on the B.B. Neuwirth tickets, we just found out that we received a few other pairs.
Oh, okay.
Which is really, really cool. And that means that, of course, we can host a few more. But email us today, because we will be contacting you today so I can get the names tomorrow to, of course, Valerie Ng Miller over at Cascade.
If you don't have a computer, call us at 241-2682. 241-2682. If we don't answer, just leave your name and a way to get back to you.
And, of course, tomorrow is going to be the big Free Fire open line, and we're going to be talking a few things for you to mark your calendar in the month of March, but we're not going to waste any time with that today, besides, of course, the B.B. Neuwirth and the boat works, because we've got a special guest in the house, and we've got some – this is hot topic.
We're going to be talking – the war along the border, and it's not just affecting Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. We're going to talk about how it affects us right here in Redding, the things that are going on in the border and this narco war that's going on. You know, is Mexico going to fail? How many are going to be millions of people coming across the border? What impact is it going to have on our medical systems, on everything? We've got somebody on the line, and we'll get to them first. But first, we have to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us after these messages. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. This portion of the show is brought to you by Rob Logan, attorney at law, 1350 Placer Street. Rob is an attorney that specializes in bankruptcies, civil and criminal cases, and he's the one to go to. You're not a number with him. You're not money. You are a person. He will fight for you. Shirley.
Yes.
Good morning. You're on.
Hi. I have a question. I live in Bella Vista,
uh-huh,
in Holiday Acres,
uh-huh,
and we have to pay an extra tax of $2-something a year for road maintenance. And they haven't done anything out there this last year. And I called them and talked to them, and they said, yes, they were aware of that. And I said, well, what happened to our tax dollars? And he said, well, they're saving it because the road over may need a bridge. And that would take priority, so they're going to save the money back. Maybe this summer they could do something.
Uh-huh.
But those potholes are so huge that you can't keep your front end aligned. And I'm just wondering if there's somebody that I can write to complain about it.
Well, I tell you what, Shirley, I don't know. I would imagine since you're out there in Bella Vista and you're probably out there in the county, you might be a county supervisor.
Why don't you email us at freefireradio.com and tell us what you're, again, just kind of reiterate what you were saying to us on the air, and we'll see if we can't forward it to somebody as we go through our collections of people that could help you.
We do have a lot of people we can get in touch with that it works.
Great.
Okay, so just go to, do you have a computer?
Yes.
Okay, well, just go to freefireradio.com, and where it says contact us, just write us the email, and when we get it, we'll try and forward it to the right person, at least tell you where to go to.
Great. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, our guest today is people that know this gentleman don't realize his background, because he's a very, he's a very laid-back, happy type of guy. But Jeff Nelson has been around. As a Vietnam veteran, hero in Vietnam, both doing heroic actions and also being wounded there. But when he came back out of the service, he became a California Highway Patrolman and retired from there. Then went down to the Caribbean, where he ended up flying for American. And then in his life, I mean, he's done so many things in his life, he could probably write a book about it. Spent a lot of time in Mexico, has done work keeping people safe here in the United States, but he's really gotten involved in what's going on along the border. So, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I know I missed a few things. What else?
Oh, let's see. I was a CHP officer, weapons training instructor. I was disability retired due to traffic accidents. I was a bodyguard. I spent 3 years gold mining in Central America, mostly Panama and Costa Rica. Been all up and down the Central America. Flying was a big part of my life all over the world, and then I spent a lot of time cruising on a sailboat. First time was about 10 years, and the last time was about 6 years cruising Mexico. So I've spent a lot of time in a lot of the Latin countries, and when I was hired by American, it was first with American Eagle. I was based in Puerto Rico in San Juan.
So, you knew when we brought back the pictures from BVI, you said, I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I recognize those palm trees.
I mean, I can look at a picture of an island and probably tell you all about it. I've been there.
Well, Jeff is a very large man in stature, and his heart is as equally as big. And I like to call you just my kitschy friend. It's got a kitschy side.
Never been called that before.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a first with Linda.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, you know, Jeff is here because Jeff has been along the border. Jeff has worked on both sides of the border. You know, just some of the headlines that are going on. We had over 6,000 killed in the drug wars down in Mexico. Phoenix, Arizona has become the kidnap capital of the U.S. Being the kidnap capital of the U.S., though, it's mainly those who are involved in the drug trade or related to it somehow. There's gunfights all the time. Policemen are being killed. I think there's like over 500 policemen killed last year. If you can imagine that happening in the United States, 500 policemen killed in gunfights with cartels. People like the head of your local Drug Enforcement Administration walking into this office and being gunned down, getting shot 97 times. These are things that are going on in Mexico right now. And even Barry McCaffrey, who did a study on Mexico, says that, you know, there may be a danger of Mexico coming into a civil strife because of the narco-terrorist. Jeff.
Well, it's, you know, I've had many years in Central America and in with the Latin culture. And before I go any further, I want to explain, I'm a real strong American patriot. My love of my country is probably much greater than the average person, but spending a lot of time in these Latin countries, I couldn't understand a lot of their culture. And it was two books that I would recommend anybody read that would really help to educate yourself. Old classic, Caribbean by Michener. Now, he wrote Hawaii. That's probably his most famous book. And Caribbean by Michener. And the second one is called A Distant Neighbor. And that was written by Alan Riding. And it helped me understand a little bit about the culture, because there's a very great deal of difference between the U.S. and Mexico in culture. In fact, there's no place in the world where there's two more dissimilar cultures with such an extensive border. You know, that border's over 500 miles long. And if you fly along it, you can see exactly where the border is by just looking at the terrain below you. And so the cultures are extremely different. And, of course, it's very corrupt on their side.
Okay, look, this is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to have to take a break here. Join us when we get back. Our guest is Jeff Nelson. We're talking about war along the border and how it's going to affect us up here in Redding. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Thanks for waiting.
Well, no problem at all. I just got back from Mexico after spending about 6 weeks down there.
Oh, that's right. Henry's our artist.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about the stuff on the border, and you got a criminal element there, just like we have in South Central L.A. with the gangs and so on and so forth, but if you go down there with the intention of don't being the great American jackass in general, and show a little respect for the people down there, you get along pretty well.
Well, you know, Henry, I agree with that. You can go anywhere in the world and have that. But on the other hand, I think what the danger is this is why they're issuing these tourist warnings and travelers warnings, is the fact is you can get involved in the middle of shootouts, and you can get, you know, you can be the, you know, the inadvertent casualty that happens during these, in some of these places.
Well, I agree with that. You could be in the crossfire, but, you know, you've probably been there before, so what the hell, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, I kind of expected it wherever I was going, but, you know, it shouldn't be like your 18-year-old daughter goes down to Cancun and gets a shotgun blast.
Well, the thing you got to realize, though, if you go down there and don't put on a show, you know, stay out of the bars, go home and go to bed at 10:30 at night. Generally, those people don't get in trouble. It's the ones that are out there raising hell all night, you know.
Henry, why go to Mexico?
Huh?
You own property down in Mexico, don't you? That's where you like to do your art.
Well, not only that, I'm an avid fisherman, and I got a boat down there, and I spent half my time out at sea.
Well, that's peaceful.
Yeah. Hey, Henry, thanks a lot.
Okay.
You bet. Thanks. Bye. Hey, welcome home, Henry.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Okay, Jeff, one of the things Jeff just said is just the size of Mexico City.
Well, yeah, there's 12 million people in Mexico City. It's, I think, the largest city in the world. And if you think of the entire L.A. basin, all the surrounding cities, there's only 10.2 million. So Mexico City, the number one kidnapping capital in the world, is totally without law nearly. It's just overrun with crime and corruption. People, if you have any money at all, the bodyguard business is one of the biggest businesses going down there, because they need to protect themselves from the kidnappers. And these kidnappers are not just drugs. They learned about kidnapping from the drug guys. They realize how easy it is to gain money from people. So, and then statistically, when I was down there, I found that 7 out of the 10 people that are kidnapped don't make it out alive, even if the money's been paid. So,
wow.
They're very violent.
Yeah. Linda, you had friends down in
Cabo
that had that problem.
I started going down to Cabo on a regular basis in 1993, and they owned their family was one of the four families down there that had big resorts, built it from the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And to watch that transpire in about a 12 or 13-year period, where the last time I was down there, they had the SUVs, three SUVs, one in the front, one in the middle, one in the back, and approaching this girlfriend of mine in the grocery store at the vegetable aisle, the Secret Service or whatever, the bodyguards came out of the, Cheerios aisle, and it was just, they moved. They sold out. They moved to Italy.
Just because of the threat there.
And this is a long-time family. They grew up. Her husband was born, even though he was American, he was born in Mexico, so he had dual citizenship. But the fear of the fact that they could be kidnapped or their child could be kidnapped was just so huge that it just changed the course of their history, where they were going to spend the rest of their lives.
It's a shame that you're chased out of your country because you're afraid that you're going to be kidnapped. Now, it's like... Like Jeff says, being a bodyguard down there is a growth industry. We've got to have to take a break here, but when we get back, we've got some people on the line, and we'll get back to you all as soon as we get back. But one of the things I want to talk about is what's going on the border itself. And then something that the Obama administration just announced is that they want to stop the war on the small marijuana, medical marijuana, and the impact this could really have on us here in California. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the jewelry you can trust, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Go in there and check out the best gems in all of the North State. We have our very own Jack Bauer online. We are so proud of you, Vince.
This is... Vince, I'm going to embarrass you right here, but this is our son-in-law, Vincent. He's a U.S. Marshal who, a couple of days ago, during a chase of a felon, was injured, severely injured, got up, chased him, knocked him down, arrested him, and then passed out from his injuries. So, he's been getting phone calls from anywhere from the director of the U.S. Marshal Service to every place else. But he is our Jack Bauer. He's a U.S. Marshal down in New Mexico. His name's Vincent Gambone. Welcome aboard, son.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Embarrass you enough yet?
A little bit.
We are so proud of you. I mean, we just visualized the whole thing. Good morning, and thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, the interesting thing about it is that... I had immigration come up and run a check on the individual, and he was indeed an illegal alien. That kind of fits into your discussion today with the border violence.
I know you don't have you may have statistics, but what's it look like to you, Vince, down there in New Mexico about as far as a lot of the felons you're going after?
Well, I'd probably say that 2 out of every 5 we go after are illegal aliens, ranging from anywhere from petty theft to homicide. A majority of our rape suspects are indeed illegal aliens, and there's no way you can get around that. The facts are facts, and the stats are the stats.
So, I know you've been down in New Mexico for what, a couple years now?
It'll be 2 years coming up here shortly.
2 years. So you've had an opportunity to travel throughout the state there, I'm sure, on your job.
Absolutely.
So, but New Mexico is still a beautiful state. I mean, people shouldn't, be thinking is that it's being taken over. But there has been have you seen a rise in violence in, air New Mexico in the last couple of years?
There has been. The border violence is seeping further north. Seems like almost on a daily basis. You have these drug cartels essentially fighting for drug routes and, upon occasion, innocent people get caught in the middle.
And I think that's what the danger is. Most of the violence goes against other, other narco terrorist types. However, when you get caught in the middle of a gunfight, you're not really caring that you are, collateral damage. You just know somebody's shooting at you.
Correct.
Yeah. Hey, Vince, I'm so glad you called, son. And we just let everybody in the North State know how proud of you we are.
Thank you.
Glad that you're feeling better.
I am. I'm feeling quite a bit better.
You got a few days off here to recuperate, so you take care of yourself.
I will. And good show this morning. We've been listening.
Hey, all right. Hey, thanks a lot, Vince.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, all right, son. Bye. Love you. Vince is there's listening to a streaming on KQMS, so people from various places throughout the United States will call in or send us emails from that.
That's amazing. He hit his head.
Got knocked, yeah. slammed himself.
Had a concussion. Yeah. Got up.
Severe concussion.
Ran after the guy, tased him.
Knocked him down, tased him.
Knocked him down, handcuffed him, and then passed out.
Yeah. That's like, when they found him.
That's our Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
Oh, Vince Gamboni.
This is not all. This is not all, because there's other things when we were down there that we've seen our son do.
Why we were at a 7-Eleven.
At a 7-Eleven.
Trying to get, like, cold medicine or something.
Jack,
I'm telling you. This
Vince became 8 feet tall in, like, 1 second.
Oh,
so, anyway, but that's another story.
We love you.
Okay. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Boy, that's another one of our unsung heroes.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, here, you know, let me tell you how. Once it went across the line, you know, across the wires, that they had an agent or, you know, a marshal injured, but he'd still done the arrest and done everything. He got phone calls from the head of the U.S. Marshal Service, saying, hey, what a great job he did.
Washington was calling.
Washington, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, Jim, what can we do
for
you?
Yeah, that's terrific. I'd like to get a public service out. There is a town hall meeting tonight for the southwestern Shasta County areas of Igo, Ono, Trinity Alps, and their surrounding Trinity Alps Reserve,
uh-huh,
and their surrounding area.
Okay.
It's at 6 p.m., and it's in the Igo School Gym in downtown Igo.
Igo School Gym in downtown Igo.
Right.
And the subject matter?
What, ma'am?
And the subject matter?
It'll be a general meeting with questions and answers to the government officials. The sheriff will be there. DA will be there. There will be the new supervisor, Moti, will be there, and a number of other government officials.
So this is just a information type meeting, or is there an agenda for this one?
It is a question and answer meeting. There will be a very, very light agenda. It's going to be pretty well open to the public and to the government people.
Kind of like this show.
Thank you. Okay. It is exactly like that.
Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for calling.
We have a Neighborhood Watch group putting it on for the Igo Ono of Trinity Alps Preserve.
Great.
So it's 6 p.m. tonight at the Igo Gym.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you very much, Carl. Great
you bet.
Show.
See, this is what we're talking about. It starts with the community. These guys are taking action.
Bruce, good morning.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up?
We just wanted to, you know, we do also have a business in Mexico, and we're down there quite often.
Uh-huh.
And we've had one incident that I do know of, at where we're at down there. We're in La Paz, and it's, you know, we fly right out of here, right direct to La Paz.
Right.
But it's, I feel as safe down in La Paz as you do here. I mean, people run up and down the Malecon at 4 o'clock in the morning and absolutely have no incidents. But when you get to these border towns, it's a whole different scenario, big time.
Well, I think that, you know, there's certain areas that when you've got, especially, you know, Cancun, La Paz, some of these others, Mazatlan, you've probably got an increased number of law enforcement agencies down there, too.
We had one of our attorney's cousin got kidnapped in Tijuana, and they sent him a note and said, bring $40,000 or we're going to cut his head off, and he did. He flew up there and took $40,000 to him. So that was one incident that I was aware of that was a real deal.
Yeah.
Did the cousin come back?
Pardon?
Did he get the cousin?
Yep. He everything was cool, but, I mean, once you start that, where, you know, how it just makes it easier for the next one. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a sad situation, and what I'm really concerned about, well, a lot of things about this, but when they got their new rules in California here that are not going to incarcerate these guys with felonies, they're going to turn them out of jail, these illegals, because they say it's a federal issue, it's going to be more dangerous in a lot of our towns up here than it is down there. So,
well, let me bring up, since you brought it up, kind of like one of the things we're going to be hitting here, is that when Holder, the Obama administration, Attorney General Holder, said that they're going to stop the war, you know, quote, the enforcement, the heavy enforcement of the medical marijuana and some of these, you know, some of the other smaller, you know, quote, uses of marijuana here. They're not going to go after that. Well, what that is going to tell the cartels down there is, hey, your requirement for weed in California is going to go up, but we're not going to put any law enforcement agencies on the feds to fight it. So
right,
what do you think that's going to do?
Well, and then California comes right out and says they're not going to lock them up for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Felony. It's illegal because it's not their problem. It's a federal problem.
Yeah.
But they're still in California wandering around on the streets. I think that you're going to see, I mean, it's dangerous enough down in these pockets of places in East Los Angeles and around. And a lot of other cities here in California, yeah. But it's going to get worse.
I think so. Hey, Bruce, thank you so much for your phone call. Hey, Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We get back, Jeff Nelson's our guest, and we're going to be discussing what's going on along the border.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. We are streaming live on KQMS.com. This is News Talk 1400, of course, KQMS. Always go to freefireradio.com. Check it out. Email us. Tell us what's on your mind. This portion of the show is brought to you by Home Helpers, where they have a trusted staff that helps the elderly, new moms, or recovering patients in their homes. Home Helpers, 226-8350. Jeff.
Yeah, I'd like to point out, I actually went down to the border last year and joined up with the Minutemen, just wanting to see what it was all about. And I got down there. I was working in an area east of El Paso, same area that the two border patrolmen that served the jail time was in. And pretty naive, and I got down there, and I didn't have a weapon with me. Being retired law enforcement, I'm able to carry in all the states. And what I contact with the Border Patrol, and they'd look at me like I was crazy because I was down there on the border sneaking around at night without a weapon. And then at night we would hear gunfights on the other side of the border, and, you know, very alarming. And so I quickly corrected my unarmed condition or position. And what I learned was these people coming across, there's different kinds. There's a typical, they call them pollos, chickens, that are just coming across for a job. And they're forced to pay these coyotes to lead them. And if they can't afford to pay, they will take one of their children and hold as a hostage until they can pay. Or they'll make them pack a duffel bag full of drugs as part of their pay. That's one part of the group. The others are the drugs and human slave traffic. And they're the real violent ones. For example... on that border last year, the homicides doubled. They estimated near 7,000. A lot of these are non-reported. This 2 months of this year, 1,000 murders along that border. Juarez is completely lawless. The chief of police has resigned. I think they've killed about five of the chiefs of police in major cities. One town had nobody as a chief of police for about 6 months. Finally, a guy volunteered to be chief of police. He was dead 8 hours later. And then, of course, the other thing we've got to look for is the terrorists that infiltrate into these groups and are brought across. And, of course, they're almost impossible to catch because they're paying the top dollar for the best coyotes and best security to get them across. The Border Patrol is totally overwhelmed down there. And what we finally discovered was we could use Google satellite search on the border, and we could identify the trails that they're used for the illegals coming across, and then we'd set up these ambushes. And I got to admit, it's kind of embarrassing, but it was a lot of fun. You'd set up, and we had night vision guys, and we'd see them coming. You'd hear the dogs barking, and you'd get ready, and you cannot touch them, talk to them. If they need medical aid, of course, you could do that. But what we discovered is we had to slow them down. And we do that with air horns, sirens, whistles. One guy had a wild animal call, a remote control, and he could have, like, stampeding elephants and fighting bobcats and all kinds of sounds. Of course, the coyote, the minute anything happens, he's running back for the border. The rest of them would just hunker down and didn't know which way to go, and that'd give time for the Border Patrol to show up and round them up.
Now, the Minutemen along the border, they're not allowed to touch. They don't use their weapons on them. The only thing they're doing is just telling the Border Patrol agents where they're located at.
Yeah, we're just eyes, and we would set up in an area, and, you know, we couldn't cover more than a few miles, and we would tell the Border Patrol where we're going to be beforehand. And then they would usually come by, and we'd flash them with our flashlight to show them where we are. So they would stay out of that area until we called them. And then when we'd hear them coming, we'd give them a heads up. And then, of course, when the action actually started, then we had shortwave radios, cell phones, so forth, and we put out a call, and that allowed them to show up. And we would catch more than half of them that we encountered. mm-hmm. which is above the average of what the normal Border Patrol would contact.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, I have a question for you. Kind of put you on the spot a little bit. You're put in charge of the entire organization, appointed by the president to do it your way. Man of the world, what would you do?
Okay. Big, it's a very difficult problem. One, you got to stop the jobs. And by shutting down the employers from hiring the people, that would slow that down. But that's just going to handle that economic deal of the illegals coming across for jobs. As far as the drug thing, that's a wide open war. And we're going to have to put a lot of money on it, a lot of enforcement, and up to and including National Guard or military people on that border. It's such a large border and so porous that it's nearly impossible to stop them. Another thing about the wall, or the everybody's for and against this wall. The wall is just one tool, a very effective tool, to limit easy access in a particular area. You can't put a wall across that entire border, but there are areas that they do need the protection that have slowed them down with a wall. And then, of course, they have electronics and other means also.
Yeah, well, we've got to take a quick break here. We come back. I've run counter-narcotics operations along the border. I believe that you probably could shut the border down if you had the people. But the thing is, I don't know if we have the national will to do that. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us after these messages.
Waking up on the right, 1400 KQMS.
This is Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by our favorite photographers, New Image, 2655 Park Marina. Go see Dan and Julia for that senior portrait, family portrait, wedding photographer. Just talk at the break about being shot in the leg and booby traps and stuff like that from Mendocino County. Share that with our listeners. It's juicy.
Well, I came back from, I think it was when I was in Panama, and I grew up in a little town on the coast over in Mendocino County, and when I got there, the UPS driver was shot in the leg because he stopped his truck and went out in the woods to take a leak. And I discovered that the drug marijuana farmers there were taking over the woods. They would booby-trap things. They had their attack dogs, and people were afraid to go in the woods camping or hiking or horseback riding. And my dad had a security guard business there, so I used his license and became a private contractor for three of the big timber companies in that area. Had about 600,000 acres, and I patrolled that. And it became a job of eradicating and locating and tracking down illegal marijuana farms. And with that, I'd work with a group called CAMP, and when I'd find very large farms with mature plants, I'd call CAMP. They'd come in with helicopters and pull it out. And in the 3 years I did that, it went from being very open, almost growing right alongside the roads, to growing way down in canyons where if anybody went across it, they were actually had to be looking for it. So it moved the criminal element of it off the common trails and normal areas that people would travel.
Well, that leads us to some other things. We've had one of our listeners write in fact, this morning. And is doing some background checking here for in Trinity County and stuff. But one of the things she said is she and her family love to hike, and they've gotten to the point where that with the things that are going up in the Trinity County and the Emerald Triangle up there is that they're afraid to go out on the trails. Now it could be as that it's overblown, but it also sounds from the number of reports we've had and the number of things people are saying is that with the number of marijuana plantations out there, maybe it isn't a good idea to walk in some of these areas.
With my knowledge of what I gained, I bet you I could walk out here and within 3 days locate marijuana farms in the neighborhood of thousands and thousands of plants. And the most common grower, of course, is the drug cartels from Mexico.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Jeff, our guest today has been Jeff Nelson, and Jeff has spent a lot of time on both sides of the border. He's been working counter-narcotics. He's even been working for the lumber companies to try and clear out some of the marijuana plants there so they can grow more lumber, a number of different things.
If you have any questions for Jeff and you want to email Carl and I at Free Fire Radio, we'll make sure that we get those questions. I'm sure a lot of people have some things that maybe they don't want to call about.
Yeah.
Questions.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, Linda, is that we need to have a couple of shows, dedicated to dedicated to the drug wars around here. And the fact is that all of a sudden there's a lot more talk about legalizing marijuana. Perhaps we can have a little panel in here and we can talk about legalizing drugs, the impact it would have on our society, but also would have an impact on the amount of lawlessness that we have, and not just along the border, because personally, I mean, I don't want to see anybody get killed. I worry about what happens on our side of the border. And we're spending millions and millions of dollars on these drug wars, and we need to see what's going on with that. You know, really take a good look, and is there a better way of handling this?
Jeff, thank you for being our guest today.
Okay, the last thing is we do get a lot of emails, and a gentleman by the name of Greg Mann sent us in a bunch of new definitions. And one of them is intoxication. That's the euphoria you get of having your tax return come back to you until you realize it's your own money. Yeah, well, I tell you, a lot of us get that. And there's other ones, too. But Frosty's giving me that break. Now, tomorrow is Open Line Chaos, Friday. Be ready to talk. This is Carl and Linda Bott for Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You started dancing and it got real hot.